Shalom to everyone. Welcome to our first day of the Feast of Tabernacles as we read from the Holiest of the Holies, the Last Testament. We'll begin the reading for the first seal at the base, and though the introduction. The base. This book is the base of the teachings of Maitreya. God bless him and his family. And the greatest sign. Tablet 1. God is everlasting, without beginning or end. He is one and indivisible. He is the source of all things. He is infinite consciousness. The circle above represents the infinity of God, the universe, consists of consciousness and the three creative forces, three gunas. In the beginning, before any expression of consciousness, the universe was in a state of beingness or amness. The circle in the center above represents the infinity of the universe and God, and the shadow in the background shows the inability of the human mind to comprehend infinity. The three creative forces, or three gunas in the universe, are the sentient force, sattvaguna, mutative force, rajaguna, and static or crudifying force, tamaguna. The sentient force, sattvaguna, in the operative state is the intelligence or power of decision making, and the mutative force, rajaguna, in the operative state is the power of movement energy in the universe. Without the rajaguna, there would be no movement in the universe. The static force, tamaguna, in the operative state crudifies the consciousness and creates the five elements in the universe. They are ethereal, aerial, luminous, heat, liquid, and solid factors. Also, it is responsible for memory. Tablet 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1, verses 1 to 3. Because of the desire of God, the balance between the creative forces was disturbed, and the three operative powers were released. The operative power of the sattvaguna sentient force, with the presence of the operative power of the tamaguna, brought the feeling of I know intelligence into play. The operative power of the rajaguna mutative force, with the presence of the active tamaguna, invoked the feeling of I do action energy. And the release of the operative power of the tamaguna resulted in the manifestation of fine ethereal factors. Then the feeling of I have done memory was awakened. With this, the three parts of the ego were evolved and the unit consciousnesses came into existence. Unit consciousness is the manifestation of the consciousness in the gross universe in the elusive state of being separate from the rest, God. This illusion of being separate from the universe was created because of the influence of the ego, I. This resulted in unhappiness and causing the unit consciousnesses to become lost, suffer, and inflict suffering on others also. The dot in the middle of this circle represents this release of the operative powers of the three gunas which created the vibration. This sound vibration, which is the same as the creative forces in the universe, is the Word. This Word, or the creative powers in the universe, is the one responsible for all things being created. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 1:4-5. The life force, energy, movement, is the power of the Rajaguna, which is in the universe. In him was life. In the higher level, when this energy life is in a sentient state, light, sattva, it is the life of the uniconsciousness, man. But because of the influence of the tamaguna, darkness, this energy or life force, prana, becomes bondage. So the light, although always present, will not be comprehended by this darkened consciousness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The life force in the universe is prana, rajaguna, and is in God, universe. In him was life. Also, sattvaguna, in the operative state, is the light of the consciousness. This light which comes alive with life, rajaguna, is also in every man, and the life was the light of men. But those who are darkened by ignorance, power of the tamaguna, comprehended it not. So the life is rajaguna, the light is sattvaguna, and darkness is the tamaguna, separate eye in the universe. Also, the universe consists of two polarities, positive and negative, or sattva and tama. The sattvaguna is positive and the tamaguna is negative. However, the rajaguna exists in the universe as neutral and will gain the polarity of the dominating force. If the tama dominates, the raja action becomes bondage. If the sattva dominates, the raja becomes positive and divine light. Tablet 3. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. God, Parama, beyond, Parusa, world, Parasutma, center of the universe, etc., who is in pure consciousness, beyond the influence of the three gunas called the state, he was in himself pure consciousness, heaven, and the state of being lost and separate from God, ignorance, he called earth, hell. Heaven and hell, earth, were created. The sign above represents the state of pure consciousness. It is the sign Hari, Om, Shri, Hung, Hash, which means the goal of the life is to become divine, pure consciousness. The sign consists of four parts. The dot in the middle is a representation of the beginning of the release of the creative forces, the word. The I Ching sign represents the dual nature of all things as positive sattva and negative tama in the universe. Also, it represents the spiritual powers in the universe activated by rajaguna. The sign of the expanding lotus represents the all-pervasive love of God, the consciousness, and the sign of Latustika is the detachment quality of the consciousness God, which lets those who are lost go away from him into Maya, material attraction, and suffer so that they might learn their lessons. Know that the only way to true happiness is to go toward him and out of Maya. So we can say that it is the punishing side. Therefore, the sign Hash in general means that with spiritual powers, Father controls the operative powers of the three gunas, and he is the nucleus of the universe. The expanding lotus shows that he is all-pervasive and loving. The Latustika shows his detachment from those who go astray toward ignorance. But the moment they come back to him, they will be touched by his loving side and again accepted. and the earth was without form and void, Genesis 1:2a. The hell, earth, is not a place, but a state of consciousness, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, Genesis 1:2b. The three gunas together make up the creative power in the universe, or the universal mind. The Sattvaguna sentient force is the intelligent or decision-making part of the universal mind. The Rajaguna mutative force is the recognizing part of the universal mind. The Tamaguna static or crudifying force is the screen or visualizing part of the universal mind. Through this universal mind, God can see his universe, recognize each part of it and the state of consciousness it is in, and decide what should be done about it. Through this universal mind, God saw that so many uniconsciousnesses were lost and in darkness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, Genesis 1:2. Water is a symbol for manifested consciousness, ether. So God decided to rescue these lost souls and bring them to pure consciousness. Through his universal mind, Spirit of God, he moved to help them. He brought them under his control. Tablet 4. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, Genesis 1:3. And God desired that these lost souls realize their divinity light. Let there be light. The Word became flesh and started to realize the path to salvation. He started to meditate on his moods and soul. Little by little, he became more familiar with himself and the realities of this universe. He realized that the effect of the three gunas as the three moods in nature. He realized the effect of the three gunas as the three moods in nature and his soul. He realized that the tamaguna static force is responsible for intensifying the feeling of separation from the Lord and becoming self-centered ignorance. So he started to overcome this force over his soul. As he succeeded in expanding his mind and feeling greater oneness with God, he experienced a great joy. But this joy was temporary, and again, the power of the tamaguna would prevail. He realized that the environment around him also affects his moods, and whenever there is much tama present, it would affect him, and he would become more self-centered and lost. So he longed for a more sattvic, sentient environment. In order to create such an environment, he started to help others around himself to realize what he had already realized. By bringing them to higher consciousness, he tried to create a better environment. So he started to sacrifice for others in order to show them the way to higher consciousness. By much endeavor, he succeeded in helping some to progress a little. So he created much pride that he is such a great being and had sacrificed so much for others. By this, he created a great ego and so became self-centered because he thought he was greater than those who needed his help. This resulted in an intensified feeling of separation and again, unhappiness. Also, after some time, those who he had helped to progress fell back to their previous states, and he became very discouraged as to why they would not progress, even though he had done so much to help them. So a great realization came to him. He understood that because he was attached to the result of his action, he had become egoistical and had longed for glory. With not receiving it, he had become discouraged. From then on, he did the action, but surrendered the result. to the Lord. With this, he freed himself from the bondage of his action. Still, later on, he realized that even greater than surrendering is submission, which is to become a channel for his divine actions. With this, there would be no I left, so no attachment. With these realizations, he greatly succeeded in helping the ones immediately close to him. But as he helped them more and expanded his consciousness further, greater joy came to him, and with it, greater realization. He realized that God is all, and he not only should be concerned for those who are in his immediate surroundings, but for all the universe, because even being concerned for only a small part of the universe, God, still is separation from him, and the result will be the same as being self-centered. So he extended his effort and concern toward the whole universe. With this, he started to realize God and his concerns in the deepest level. Therefore, he could see God, universe, face to face. With all the progress of the last five steps, he became a dynamic spiritual force in the universe. Not only was a great permanent joy established in him, he also won the grace of the Lord. With his grace, he eventually overcame the power of the tamaguna over his soul and reached pure consciousness light. And there was light. He became the first begotten Son of God. He and the Father became one. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1, verses 4 to 5. God was pleased to see his first begotten Son in his likeness, pure consciousness, light. He divided the state of pure consciousness from the state of being lost. He became the master of light and darkness, and knew how to help the lost souls come out of the darkness, hell. The state of pure consciousness is called day, and the darkness, being under the influence of the tamaguna, is called night. With this, the first period of his struggle was finished, and the evening and the morning were the first day. However, helping the lost souls in this state was very hard. So God decided to create a more orderly process to bring the lost unit consciousnesses to pure consciousness. He began to create the manifested world creation and the evolutionary process. Tablet 5. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Genesis 1, verses 6 to 7. As water is a symbol for consciousness, with this decision, he started to divide the consciousnesses in the universe into many levels according to their awareness. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The triangle upward symbolizes the hierarchy into which the consciousnesses had been divided. Those in a higher consciousness are at the top of the triangle, and those who are lost and in a complete illusion of separation are in the bottom of the triangle. Therefore, the triangle upward represents the hierarchy of the unit consciousnesses, which reached pure consciousness by the help of God in heaven. Those in higher consciousness down to the ones completely lost at the bottom. The more sentient the consciousness, the higher the possibility of reaching pure consciousness first. The two triangles together symbolize the kingdom of heaven in heaven. The triangle upward symbolizes the actions taken to carry out the activities necessary in the manifested universe to help the unit consciousnesses reach the goal, pure consciousness, by all the elements of the universe and those who reached higher consciousness or pure consciousness. The triangle downward symbolizes the universal mind, which enables God to control and direct these activities. Also, the triangle upward symbolizes action and organization, symbol for organizational structure in heaven. And the triangle downward symbolizes control and justice. Then, by using the crudifying ability of the Tamaguna, God started to bind and crudify the consciousness's waters toward a more solid state. As the binding power of the static force, Tamaguna, started working, the first elements of the basic five elements, ethereal, aerial, luminous, liquid, and solid, namely ethereal and aerial factors, became manifested. These two elements were referred to as the waters which were above the firmament. Those consciousnesses which in the process of crudification became the base for creating the liquid and solid factors are called the waters which were under the firmament. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Genesis 1:8. So the elements of the manifested world started to be created. At this stage, those parts of the elements which contained ethereal, aerial, and gaseous factors were called heaven, sky, or the most invisible elements in the universe. From this verse on, the description is about the plan of creation of the visible elements in the universe. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1, verse 9. The waters under the heaven are those consciousnesses which, in the process of crudification, became the base for creating liquid and solid factors. Now in this stage, they would be crudified further to create dry land. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. This gathering together or crudifying process is what is called the centripetal force of nature. Through this centripetal force, different levels of the universal elements, which are ethereal, aerial, luminous, fire, heat, light, liquid, and solid, and all the elements between them were created. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:10. So the dry land, or the most crudified consciousnesses, became the earth, or the solid factors in the universe. Also from the rest of the consciousnesses under the firmament, liquid factor was created, called he sees. With this, all the necessary elements to start the evolutionary process in the universe were prepared. Tablet 6. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit tree after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Genesis 1:11. With the help of the centripetal force, or by the loosening up of the crudifying power of the static force, and by the use of the five elements already created, God now planned to start the creation of the plants, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Genesis 1:26. The evolutionary process of going from plants to animals and eventually to humans was achieved. However, the entire first chapter of Genesis in the Bible is a description of creation in the state of planning and thinking. The real creation as a manifested world starts later, in chapter 2 of Genesis. God decided to create man in his image and likeness. He decided to bring the unit consciousnesses to human form as they were, male and female, in one being. Also, man is the end of the evolutionary process. The human is in that state of being which can reach pure consciousness or perfect awareness. He can gain complete control of the tamaguna over his soul and can also go beyond the influences of the crudified sattvaguna, reasoning directed towards selfishness, and the crudified rajaguna, selfish actions. He can direct them toward universalism and become divine, become a son of God, pure consciousness. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Genesis 2:3. After these seven periods in which God finished planning the creation, he saw the process of evolution and was very pleased with it. After he would create it, it would be self-sustaining and he did not have to interfere in its process very frequently, so he could rest and become a witness entity, consciousness in the universe. He had rested from all his work. Therefore, through the laws God has established in the universe, whenever man goes astray, he would suffer. And whenever he progresses, he would receive joy. So, through this process, eventually, he would find the way to God, pure consciousness. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. When the first expression of awareness appeared as a sound vibration, the word time was perceived. When this manifested universe started to be created, the reality of space became understood and the atom was built. In Sanskrit, the atom, Anu, is called avidya, meaning ignorance. The same atom in the Bible is called the dust of the ground, which is the atom in the first stages and also can be called the cosmic dust. Man did not have the same body as we know it today. His body was made more psychic and spiritual factors. However, he had many basic things in common with the man of today. He had a soul. He was a unit consciousness, which had a unit mind, the three gunas. This unit being resided in the ethereal factor spirit. But he also had a material body consisting of the four other elements, namely aerial, luminous, liquid, and solid. The four element material body can only link itself to the psychic spirit or ethereal body, unit soul, and its ethereal factor with some fine element. This fine element in the Bible is symbolized by the breath of life, which is also called prana. This prana is the outgoing energy, rajaguna, from the soul. It can be found in fresh air and is even more necessary for survival than oxygen. It is the life force which is also available in other elements in nature besides air. It is a living thing that can be controlled, directed, and used for many purposes in human life. It is the life force of all living things. By creating the manifested universe, the evolutionary process, and the human, God guides the unit consciousnesses. With the attraction of the external world, Maya, and because of the ignorance of man, of his divinity, as I am one with the I am, he becomes a slave of his illusion that he is a separate being in the whole universe, and he becomes more and more lost because of the impulses of his desires and attachments to the external world. Only after many lifetimes he reaches a point where he realizes that there should be more in life than this heedless pursuance of the lower nature which brings so much suffering. That is when he starts reaching for more meaningful realities than these unsatisfying, impulsive desires which are the root of all suffering. That is when he will be helped and be shown the way to salvation and is the reason for this creation and Maya. And we'll pause the reading there this morning in the base. At this time, I will go ahead and release the mic back to the room and say salam to everyone.